Number one, why did I pick the show?
The answer is you did it to hurt me, and I know that. Hello and welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and I think the best Gen 1 Pokemon starter is Bulbasaur, clearly.
Debatable. I'm Jeff, and I think the best Gen 1 Pokemon starter is Charmander, obviously. No choice.
I don't think so.
Today we're sampling the first three episodes of Plunderer, which is subtitled on Hulu and subbed and simuldubbed on Funimation Now. Quick programming up before we jump in. This is the last of our twice-a-week episodes, so next episode will be coming out next Thursday, and then we'll be plowing on ahead weekly instead of bi-weekly, double-weekly. Wow. Can't even say the word plow. Wow. Speaking of plowing, Annie, what's the show about?
Shut the hell up. Okay. Okay, so this story is set in a world that is ruled by numbers that everyone has on their bodies. I guess their worth as a human being is measured by how high their number is, and the numbers are affected by like random things that are assigned to people, like how many times they've gotten a compliment or how many miles they walked or kilometers, whatever. And it's focusing on this one girl, Hina, and her mom hit zero. And when you hit zero, you get sucked into the abyss, I guess. So she's gone. And her mom was like, hey, go find the legendary ace before I go. Bye.
That's how it works for podcasts, too. Once we get zero subscribers, then we just then fade away.
But yeah, she's like, mom's like, go find the legendary ace. And Hina's like, okay, I'm a child, but I'm on it. And so she's been looking for in the legendary ace. And that's what it's about.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds like a great premise for
so good.
Tasteful show.
Tasteful show. Numbers on your body. Where could that go wrong?
I'm sure it's in a tasteful place. Always. Mm-hmm.
Always in a good place. Anyways, Jeff, tell us more about the background of this.
Yeah. So I can't dodge the... This is a very etchy show. But where did it start off? So it's based on a shonen manga, which has been running since December 2014, has 14 volumes. The author of the manga, Sue Miyazuki, is mostly famous for a series called Heaven's Lost Property, which I've heard of that term. I don't know anything about it. I just feel like I've heard that name before. So
I haven't.
Yeah.
Because I'm a good person.
I think it's a harem ecchi series. So it's like, great. Yeah. I had no interest in reading or watching it. I just know it exists. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So the series is definitely... was definitely a shonen manga. It was running in a magazine called Monthly Shonen Ace, but apparently that shonen magazine is fairly ecchi. A lot of the series that run in there are pretty ecchi. Anyway, and the anime is animated by Studio Geek Toys, which is just like last episode we were talking about Studio Ezola, which did Smile Down the Runway. This is a very new studio that seems like this is their third series. And just like that other... So this I almost just left the information intact from our notes in the last episode because it's exactly the same scenario. This is their third series. I haven't heard of either of the other two series. And they have a wiki page in English, but not in Japanese.
Great.
It's basically the same studio. But it's not. Anyway, and the staff that has worked on the show, I haven't really heard of any of the things they worked on, except that there are three characters. I thought it was notable that there are three character designs credited, and it seems to be the first time that two out of three of them have done character designs. So, interesting. Anyway, yeah, so I don't know. This is a show.
So, okay, can I just tell you? All right, so didn't have a lot of time to watch anime this week, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to download this and watch it on the bus.
Yeah, I too watched one of these episodes on the bus.
And the shame. The
it was a great show to watch on the bus.
Shame I felt. The eyes on me and what I was watching. I was horrified. I had to stop watching it and put it away. And that just, I felt worse. It is the most ecchi thing we've watched this whole season. And it made me so unhappy. Just... my days have been ruined watching this.
Yeah.
Jeff, I hate you. This is your fault.
So yeah, the show is much etchier. We should probably describe, because some people listening might not know the term etchy, but
it's
yeah.
Overly sexual and gross. That's all you need to know. So to start off, the like opening shot is of Hina and where her number is on her body. Guess where it is? Upper inner thigh.
Well, so you could be mistaken, and you could think it's not her upper inner thigh, that it could be a different body part, which Don't worry, the second female character to be introduced, she has it there. Don't worry.
Yeah. So she has it on her upper inner thigh. And so we get a ton of like almost upskirt shots, and it's horrifying. And people are constantly trying to pry open her legs to look at the number.
Oh, and it's even worse because the we mentioned the concept that like once you get to zero, you are taken to the abyss. Mm-hmm. But there are also other mechanics, which we might get to, about people stealing numbers or numbers transferring to one another.
Yes.
And whenever that happens, there are like these ghost hands that come out of the ground and grab the number, which
yep.
when it's a guy and it's a number on their face, totally fine, totally tame, totally normal. Mm-hmm. When it's a girl who's resisting and they're grabbing inside her thigh,
it's horrifying. I was so angry. And then the other main character that's a girl, what was Nana. Her name? Nana? Nina?
Well, so I am pretty sure it's Nana because her number is 77. And
yes,
Nana
okay.
is Japanese
yes,
for seven.
Nana. So yes, so her number 77, right on her boob, which is almost fully exposed. She's wearing a shirt almost completely unbuttoned except for the bottom two, and like a strapless backless bra that is barely covering anything. And then she's got 77 just right there on her left boob.
I thought it was even more egregious than that because it wasn't like, her boobs aren't shaped like boobs. They're just like
no.
bizarre like masses that
yes.
like I just don't
it's
even
like, girl, you okay?
How do people find that attractive? Like,
no, it's gross. So anyways, hated it.
Yes, yes. I hate it too. It's the worst show we watched by far.
Yes. Sorry, Somali, come back.
The things that we've been grossed out, the things that I've been grossed out by so far have been like Hanako-kun being like, oh, there's like a pervy subtext to all of this and like some awkward jokes and like some like gross, you know, things below the surface a little bit. Then Bofuri like, okay, so there's some pervy shots that could be like the, you know, at the hand of like a single director or two that really like showing these pervy shots. This is just like the entire concept of the series is baked around
being nasty.
This grossness. Yeah. And I feel like we should kind of explain that like, we're not just being prudish. We're not just being like, oh, sex is bad. Sex bad. Like,
no, but prying open a girl's legs is not sexy. It's assault. No,
right. Like, I'm bi, you're pan. We're both attracted Ooh, to women.
Mm-hmm. This is not hot.
Right. Like, this is...
This is uncomfortable.
It's like, it's all about, like, finding the threat of sexual violence enticing, which is just so gross. And
yeah. Like, the whole, like, sexiness of it isn't just, like, look, here's a thigh. It's people constantly, like, assaulting her to look at her thigh. And, like, it's genuinely upsetting at certain points.
We haven't even mentioned she's the main character. But, like, the person who has the most agency and is, like, the most powerful in the world, whatever, is the, I guess by the structure of a format, we should spoil this big reveal that happens at the end of the first episode. We shouldn't spoil it. We should hold off on spoiling it, but like, the show's bad.
Yes.
If you actually care about like being spoiled about the reveals of the show, then like, I guess this is your cue to head off and go watch the show before you come back. But like, we don't recommend you watch it. Anyway, there's this, in the first episode, there's this really pervy guy named Licht who just like, his whole shtick is he has this like shitty mask on and mm-hmm. is just a complete perv and is like, everyone hates him and he's just making jokes and like trying to get into her thighs and hitting on all the women. And oh, it's so funny. It's basically Mineta from My Hero Academia, but like turned up to the like most extreme that it could be.
Yes.
And then here's a cue for spoilers, but he's actually the ace. He takes off his mask and he's actually super serious and super kind and super nice.
Super hot.
He is pretty hot, but.
Did you see those abs? I saw this guy and I was like, okay, weirdo in a fucking mask, like assaulting this girl. And he has like a major role. And I'm like, this is going to be the ace. I can tell in my blood that he's going to be the ace and I'm going to hate him. And then what do you know?
Yeah. And the writing's not good. Like there's a line early on where like Nana, who apparently knows that he is the ace and like knows that she's searching for the ace and she's like, oh, we've been hearing, like, she says something like, oh, Licht, have you heard anything about this rumors about an ace? Have you Licht? Huh? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. He's going to be the ace. Hina runs into Nana and Licht and mm-hmm. she says she's looking for the ace. Oh my God, there's so much terrible writing everywhere. First of all, like when, like Hina doesn't know about the world building apparently, like she doesn't mm-hmm. know about the concept of numbers. So like Nana has to explain this concept, this basic concept of the world to her, which like, okay, maybe she's completely sheltered and maybe like her mom has never told her about this basic stuff, even though it's like how she died anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so she doesn't know about this basic premise of the world. So Nana has to explain it to her. But then Nana's like, oh, so Hina, so how does your number go up? And she didn't, before this explanation, even know how numbers work. But then it's like, oh yeah, my number goes up when I walk. And yep. It's like, okay, so you do know how this works?
She like somehow knows that what her number does, but doesn't know why other people have them. It's just off and doesn't make sense.
Right. Like, I guess I can understand how like she would know that her number goes up when she walks, but like she doesn't understand how everyone has numbers. Or like she doesn't think that I could see someone in that scenario thinking that everyone has a number on their thigh that goes up when they walk or something like that. But no, it's not presented in a way that feels logical or consistent or coherent at all. It's just
like this is how it is. But it also is upsetting because like she didn't understand how her mom got sucked to the abyss, I guess.
Yeah.
And so Nana is just like, yeah, like it's a fate worse than death. Oops. Sorry. Like, sorry, I forgot that you just told me that's how your mom went. Like, damn.
But what I found, I didn't even notice until I watched the first two episodes with my boyfriend, and he was like, why did you choose? This is terrible. This is gross. But he pointed out in the in that scene, so she said, so Hina wants to find the ace. Nana's like, oh, we don't know where the ace is. And then these soldiers come by the main soldier guy pretends to be the ace and takes her away and then like basically threatens to rape her. Mm-hmm. And like through this convoluted system of, I forget what it's called, like star challenging or something.
Yeah, like a star wager or something.
Yeah, so like something where like people in the military can challenge people to a battle, which if they win, they take the count of someone else and whatever. And she basically gets caught, doesn't know what she's agreeing to. So she loses her count and then has to be saved by Licked/Ace guy. But Nana knows who the ace is and lets Hina walk off thinking that soldier guy is the ace. Yeah. And it's like, you didn't say, like, he seems menacing. He seems like he's going to do something evil to her. And you're just like, oh, well, there you go. And
yeah, she was a bad friend in that moment because she was like, well, like, I guess the excuse can be made that she was like, Hina. And then shitty military dude's like, are you interfering with military affairs? And then she's like, oh God, no. And then I'm like, girl, be a better friend.
Ugh, and it's, the show is just, the weird thing is, it was like, I'm kind of not fascinated, but I'm like, after three episodes, we still don't even know what the structure of the damn show is. Like, yeah,
it's just like vaguely like, okay, we found the ace. And that's it.
is the structure of the show going to be them in a party traveling around? I was really curious just to like see what people were saying about the show. And I read the Anime News Network daily streaming review, the latest review of the latest episode. Mm-hmm. And in reading that recap/review, it seems to be like a party of people going around and like including Licked. So I'm like, it's what I would have assumed. But like three episodes in, they still haven't formed that party. Or like, it's just like,
they wasted a whole episode
on that
ruining my day
joke. That, yes. Oh my God. That, I'm also confused by, I think those two characters are recurring characters.
Well, I'd hope so. They spent a whole episode with them.
Right. Right. During the episode, they're not designed like important enough characters to be. I don't know. I thought they looked like generic one-off characters.
Okay. So in case you didn't watch it and you like us spoiling stuff for you, there in the third episode, there's two characters that get introduced that are random military personnel.
Yeah, and they're from like a different town. This is after Licked has gone off, so Licked is on his own.
Yeah, Licked runs away because he's like he's wanted by the military, but these two military personnel like find him. They don't know he's the ace, but they're like, one of them, she gets her count goes up when she helps people. And Licked like, oh, my number goes down whenever a girl rejects me. And look how much I have been rejected. It's -1,000. So they're like, let's go on a date to help you. Or she's like forced into it by her like coworker.
Oh my God, who's so I kept thinking there's gonna be some reveal that he was actually trying to like get her murdered and take her position or something.
That's what I thought, because he's just awful to her. He's like, yeah, let him grope you.
He's like getting off on setting her up for all this, and it's like so gross.
It was horrible and I hated it.
And this is after like she suspects that he is the ace, like, yeah, because they know they're supposed to have an ugly mask on, and he has an ugly mask on, but it's different than the one in the drawing. So like they make a joke about how she's like, oh, you have a mask on. He's like, well, it's a different mask. And she's like, oh, okay, I'm a dumb girl, cool.
Yes, all the women are treated like morons and they act like morons. It's frustrating that they're all like in the, of course, the women's military uniforms are the shortest skirts anyone could wear, with like only the vest is only like above the boob, so it accentuates that there's boob. And it's so awful that this girl is like in charge of this other guy, but she's like so stupid and like can't figure out that he has a negative count and that means he should be sent to the abyss.
Oh, right. Because like the point is that if you have a negative count, you can survive being sent to the abyss if you're holding an item that gives you some other big positive count. But those items are very restricted by the government or whatever. So like, he has a sword that has a 5,000 count or whatever on it. So that's how he survives being sent to the abyss. But the fact that he has that is enough to like warrant him being suspicious. And so like, just seeing his negative count should be a sign that he is whatever. It doesn't.
Yeah, that he's a criminal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks. So they spend the entire third episode like having this poor woman be like groped and assaulted.
Oh, no. But like, the worst part is that so her count goes up if she helps people.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing just comes down to like, well, I guess if she's a recurring character, maybe there's more to her character or whatever. But like, at least for this episode, the whole point is just that like he's going to harass her and then he enjoys harassing her. This is licked. Enjoys harassing her so much that counts as helping someone. So like her number is going up as she's being groped and like he's feeling up inside her skirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God.
Terrible. If you like etchy trash, like this is for you. But if you don't and you're a good person, then don't watch this.
But like, I kind of want to dig into that a little bit about like, I don't think ecchi inherently is bad, or that like raunchy stuff or like things that play with sexiness are inherently bad. Like, I think this is gross for reasons tangential to that. Like, I don't think the whole genre of ecchi things has to be so shitty, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Like, it doesn't have to be like literally assaulting people. It could just be like, I guess like Nana is like the least bad part of this, with her boobs just fully out.
It's still not great though, because
it's not great.
It still feels like it was designed by a horny dude who doesn't understand what women look like.
Yes, but at least Nana is just like living her life, titties out. But she's not being like assaulted. Yeah. So that's more forgivable to me. It's irritating as all hell. But like, I mean, you do you, girl. But poor Hina and like this other lady whose name I can't remember. Like,
I think it was like Lynn, I believe.
Something like that. She kicks some ass later on in the episode.
Well, like, she kicks him enough that then the gag is that like, her skirt is so short that like while she's kicking him, they can see up her skirt and then they're just enjoying getting kicked so they can look up her skirt and
That was like an in sync sigh.
So I have some big mysteries that I wrote down. Like
what?
So number one on the list of big mysteries is number one, why did I pick the show?
That's a good question. It should hurt me. The answer is you did it to hurt me, and I know that.
I didn't think it would hurt me so much too.
Like with like Beaufort, at least I enjoyed some of it.
Has heart. It has like,
it does have heart. Okay, listen. The one shining moment in this show was in, I believe it was the second episode, when he's like kicking the military guy's butt and like they're flying in the sky. And it was like kind of sweet when she's like, hey, if you're still hungry, I'll buy you food. Just don't get hurt. But it also felt like, it was annoying, but like it was probably the nicest moment.
Yeah. And I think.
Oh, and then like when she was yelling at him when he was abandoning her, that was also like, oh, they're trying to be emotional here and it's not gross right now. I was like, wow, I can breathe.
Yeah, so I think we should summarize the emotional roller coaster of that, because I think that is kind of well done, that it's like, so he basically reveals his form and protects her from the military guy that stole her count and battles through, this is like the end of the first episode and through the second episode, to like get her count back. And then basically like gets her count back, and then she came, like her mom gave her this orb that is a, whatever it's called, like a ballot that has 1,000?
10,000. 10,000, I think.
5,000? Some thousand.
10,000, I think.
So she has this big ballot thing. And after he saves her, he just demands to take it from her. And you're like, what the fuck? I thought he was a nice guy. I guess he's just an asshole. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves with it and gives her this like crappy stuffed bear. And you're like, oh, he gave her this crappy stuffed bear, but took the thing that's really valuable. Oh no, he's an asshole. He left. And then he like runs after her, and I don't remember how it's quite revealed, but like the point is that he put the ballot inside the stuffed bear so that the military would see him taking the thing and think that he's the criminal and that she's exonerated. And it's like, oh, I guess he wasn't being an asshole. He was actually watching out for her. He's being kind of sweet in this, like, not quite tsundere, but like, I'm being rough to you for your own good kind of way. And like, it works emotionally, I thought.
It did, but it also really upset me.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what part of it upset you?
The, like, roller coaster that the show put us on for, like, it felt like kind of no reason.
Mm.
Like, I understand that he was doing her a favor, but I don't know, it just sucked to, like, watch.
I feel like I kind of hated it during the, like, by the end of it, I was like, okay, that was a nice note to leave on. But during, in the middle of it, I thought it was really shitty because we're still getting a sense of what the tone of the show is. Like, it, like, what the show's worldview and, like, what it believes. Like, is it optimistic? Is it pessimistic? Is it a gritty, realistic world where everyone's just evil and shitty? And up to that point, it kind of felt like it could be leaning that direction. You know, like, she went and trusted this military officer and then he turned out to be an asshole. And then she goes and trusts this ace guy and then it's, he turns out to be an asshole. And I was like, this show could be a super pessimistic thing where it's like, oh yeah, he actually is an asshole. And I thought that's where it's headed. And I was like, this show sucks.
Yes.
So when it was like, oh, he was pretending to be an asshole, he actually is sweet. I was like, okay, it could have been worse.
Fine. We get something, I guess.
Right. Like, I guess it is an optimistic shonen manga at heart. You know, like, but it still sucked to go through that. I don't know.
It was painful because it was just like, is this show just like beating on this poor girl in every way possible? It's just like she's being like emotionally like ripped apart, physically assaulted. Like,
it feels like misery porn.
Yeah, it's like misery porn. It's like, by the way, my mom's dead. I've been alone for like 12 years or whatever. Like, she's like, I've been traveling alone. I've just been suffering on my own. And I was like, what the hell is what is this show? Who is this? What's happening? And like, it's not even a little fun.
Yeah.
It was just awkward and awful. And I was just watching it on the bus and everyone thinks I'm trash, which I am, but like not in the way they think.
So my next list of mysteries is how does this have 4.5 stars on Funimation's website? I don't know.
What?
I don't know. It's
unacceptable.
One of the world's biggest mysteries.
This is horrifying.
And yeah, I did go back and I was so, after watching two episodes with my boyfriend, I was just like, why did I pick this? What was I thinking?
Yes.
So I went back and listened to our first episode to hear what I had to say. And it turns out I was intrigued because it had such high metrics of like fans loving the first episode and such low metrics of critics hating it. And I was like, there has to be something really interesting there. If the fans love it and the critics hate it, there has to be something really interesting going on there. And I realized since that, like, no, I thought that quadrant, like if you're imagining like critics loving it versus hating it on one axis and fans loving it versus hating it on another axis, like it's pretty clear what the like the quadrant of fans love it and critics love it, like that's, you know, the darlings everyone loves, the things that fans hate and critics hate, like it's the trash stuff that like is animated terribly and like, you know, is like incoherent or just is terrible. But like I thought those other two quadrants of like fans love it but critics hate it, I thought that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would be something like controversial or something like Shield Hero, which I haven't seen, but I know to hate for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it'd be something like that. Like it would be competently made but controversial. And then it'd be interesting to see how it's controversial. But instead it's just, I forgot that same quadrant is where the stuff that is just milquetoast, is that how you pronounce that? Milquetoast?
I don't know.
Anyway, milquetoast and boring and bland and generic, but delivers on all of the like checklist of booty shots and whatever that like.
Yeah. I was really interested in like what people were thinking about it because I was like, how is anyone watching this? This filth. But of course, I just checked Mal because like that's where I assume the target demo is. But I think a lot of the reviews were saying if you like read the manga, you know, it gets better after like the first couple episodes.
Oh.
And like there's like mystery and action. And you know what? I just don't believe them. I don't believe it. They're like, oh, it's like not the same. The first episodes are like a ruse. I was like, well, don't do that. I'm not going to watch your nasty show.
So I did find out some stuff about where the show's headed from that Anime News Network review that I read. Are you curious to hear?
Yes, please just spoil it for me.
Okay, so this is, I guess, a weird caution for us because normally we don't talk about events past episode 3, and I will kind of be. So if you really care about what happens in Plunderer past episode 3, skip ahead a couple minutes. But so you know how episode 2 ends with the military guy that confronts her and is like, oh, I actually know, but I'm not going to tell anyone because like my real boss is blah, blah, blah. And then he like pulls out a radio and starts talking to someone.
Yeah, which was very confusing because I was like, a radio?
Right. It's, and So it's like, okay, clearly that's weird technology for this world. But mm-hmm. I think that's where the show is heading in terms of like the world secretly having a lot more technology than we expect.
Yeah. Okay. Can I tell you that on the descriptions on several different sites, like the synopsis, mm-hmm. it says post-apocalyptic world.
Mm.
And I was like, it doesn't seem like a post-apocalyptic world. It just seems like fantasy, like what's happening.
So apparently in episode 8, which is I think the latest one that was out when I was looking mm-hmm. at like reviews, there's some monster they go to investigate. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that monster is a helicopter.
Oh.
Yeah. But even more interesting, I noticed watching, I think it was the title card after at the end of episode 1 or something, where like it has Ace in the title of the episode. Mm-hmm. And so like ended up, even watching dubbed, it shows the like Funimation shows the original title card in Japanese. And I just noticed that like, oh, the kanji for ace is like three complicated kanji. Like it's not a simple word like ace. So I was like, looked it up and it's like, I think it's Geki Sui O. And I recognize the last kanji is king, like Osama. But mm-hmm. so Geki Sui means shooting down aircraft. So yeah. Geki Sui O or ace, it seems like it's some kind of terminology about like, it's supposed to be tied into real world military concepts, I think. And like, maybe the localization term they chose as ace is because it's going to be like short for ace pilot or something that is like,
yeah,
from World War II World War II terminology. So, it's not even, I don't even find that interesting though. It's like,
no, it's like,
okay.
I guess the appeal of the show is that there's a mystery to be solved. But when the synopsis says post-apocalyptic world and you see a guy in the first episode or second episode pull up, like a radio, like it's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, supernatural abilities, all this weird future stuff, like whatever. Like it's not, if their whole thing was to have these three episodes be so wacky and silly and different from the rest of the show to like trick you, why do they think I'm gonna stick around to watch the rest? I just don't understand this supposed tactic that they're employing.
Yeah.
It's not effective.
I'm also very skeptical of when people oversell something as like, oh, once you get past the first episode, it's totally different. And it's like,
yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it, you liar.
I don't think they're lying, but I think they're just like,
I think they're lying.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, it's hard. I feel like if I were hearing that from someone whose opinion I trusted and wasn't just like an aggregated crowd, mm-hmm. then it'd be a different thing. But if it's like an aggregate crowd, like they, I don't know, I feel like I've just been burned by trusting crowds like that too much.
Yeah. It's upsetting. Anyways, I hated it. I'm weeping it. I don't want to talk about it.
The dub was fine.
That's good. I just watched the sub. And it was also fine.
It's been really, this experience has been really weird with, I guess I really only did it with this and Bofuri of like watching a couple of episodes with my boyfriend who prefers dubs. And like the fact that these are on Funimation now and simuldubbed, it's like, oh yeah, you can just watch an episode simuldubbed. And like I haven't been directly comparing them, but it's like going from like, oh, I watched two episodes subbed, then one dubbed, then back to subbed. Like I don't even remember or notice a difference.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool that like they are offering that. That's like possible in this day and age.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Funimation. Shout out. But anyways, I'm weeping it. You're weeping it. We'll never talk about it again.
Yeah, this is definitely.
Don't watch it.
This is, I'm weeping this. This is the hardest I've weebed.
It's gross. All right, bye. All right.
Oh, that's the show.
Thanks for listening. And thank you to the people who wrote reviews.
Yeah, so we got iTunes reviews to read. Annie, do you want to read the first one? It's all about you.
All right. The first review is from user Verby123. And they said, Annie is wrong, but anime is good. That's the subject. The rest of the message is, Annie has bad opinions, but you should listen. And I feel like this is targeted harassment to make me read it, Jeff. So.
But it's the truth, so you know.
Ew. Anyways, Verby123, thank you for your review.
And our second review came in from someone named like Bracket Eric Bracket. I have no idea who that could be. And their review is titled Ding Dong Anime Calling. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the review of initial episodes. Episodes are split into two parts, spoiler free and spoilers, so you can get their recommendation without being spoiled, then watch the first three episodes of the anime to enjoy the spoiler commentary. Even for the shows I don't recommend, the commentary is enjoyable enough to keep listening regardless. So I do feel kind of bad because we've kind of ditched the split into spoilers and non-spoilers.
Still did it this time.
Well, yeah, I think
we said, hey, spoilers are happening, get out. And
yeah.
And right. Also, like, don't care about them for this one because it sucks a bunch of butt.
Right. If it's a series that we actually think people will care about spoilers, like, for example, if we were covering The Promised Neverland, that's kind of show that we would be like, okay, we're going to talk. We're going to have a heavy spoiler discussion. It's going to be after the end of the outro music and everything. So, like, stay listening for that. But, like, for a show like this, like,
no.
We don't think people are going to care about spoilers.
Nope. Well.
Nope. Thank you for the reviews.
Yeah, thanks for the reviews. If you disagree with them or agree with them and want to leave us a review, go ahead and leave it. on Apple Podcasts. Yes. And then
if you think Annie's right, you can just
if you think I'm right silent. And my opinions are good, please review us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to tell us which anime you think we should watch this season, tweet it at us at loveitorweebit or email it to us at loveitorweebit@gmail.com.
And we are coming up on that soon. We're going to have to start watching those episodes soon. So yep. Do it quick.
Yes.
We only have one more regular episode, I believe. Because I think because Beastars is coming out in the middle of March. So I think we're doing ID Invaders next and then, ID Invaded and then Listener Pick and then Beastars, I believe.
Oh, thanks a lot, Netflix.
Well,
holding Beastars hostage.
If we're doing Dragon Prince, we also need to thank Netflix.
No, we're not doing Dragon Prince. Please don't let Dragon Prince win. Please vote for this. I swear to God. Somebody, like, vote Madoka, anything.
Send in 20 votes for Madoka so they can overpower Dragon Prince.
Yes, please. I would like to watch it. If you don't want to tweet us at Love It or We Bit, we understand it's very hurtful, but you can also tweet at us personally. I'm at any other name.
And I'm definitely Jeff. And yeah, next week we're going to be covering ID Invaded. And I think every time we've been saying next week, even though it hasn't actually been 1 week away, it's been a half week away. But now it actually is going to be 1 week away this time. So, you know.
Oh, yes. Next week, ID Invaded.
Yeah. So, yeah. Bye.
Bye.
And as we always say, with a name like anime, it has to be good. That's weird. Okay. This is a bad after show topic.
This is a bad after show topic.
This is a bad, not after, the normal show was a bad show to cover.
That was a bad show, Jeff. Never do this to me again. Next season, do not pick any trash just to hurt me.
So how do you feel though about this was like banal trash, like it was boringly trash, mm-hmm. but like what about stuff like Goblin Slayer or Shield Hero?
I'm not gonna watch Goblin Slayer, let me just tell you.
Well, not that show specifically, but like stuff like it that's like controversial but trash.
I'll only watch it if the conflict is that some people are saying it's really, really good besides like this one element of garbage or something. Because like I was trying to think of like there's shows that are good, but like ReZero, some people are like, this is a really good show. It's like the story's great, it's very interesting, blah blah blah. And then other people are like, hey, it's etchy bullshit.
ReZero isn't even that etchy.
Listen, it's bullshit.
Wait, have you watched it?
I begrudgingly watched the entire season.
Wait, it's not that itchy though. Maybe my bars are so much lowered now because of Plunderer, but like...
Yeah, well, all of like the Rem and Ram stuff was like fucking horrible. Yeah,
it's definitely harem-y.
Yeah, well, it's also, she's like... Okay, you know what? It's also like, feels like torture porn.
Hmm.
I think that's what bothered me the most. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's him dying over and over again, which is like, whatever. But like, all the stuff with Rem is way worse. Like, what they do to her throughout the series, like, that's one scene in particular I'm thinking of. Like, what happens to her is like way more graphic and awful than what happens to him, I think. But I want to watch BNA because it's Trigger.
Yeah. I think it doesn't help that I started getting so bogged down in like reading the staff and the studio and what they'd done before, because there weren't any like obvious
notable ones.
Yeah, like if there was like a Bones show or a Trigger show, then like I would know that it's like, oh, this is a no-name studio, it's not worth talking about them. But because everything was no name, I got lost. I'm a dumb girl. Cool.
Yes, all the women are treated like morons and they act like morons. It's
well, that's the most realistic part.
Excuse me, I will go to your house, I know where you live. But